Give you a second to get there, Matthew chapter 1. Man, Christmas is fast approaching. I tell you, I was really ready for it about 2 weeks ago, and then it seemed real Christmassy, and then everything got kind of hectic. And now all of a sudden, it's like the day I thought, man, tomorrow's Christmas Eve, and it's going to be here and gone before you know it. But share that with you. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. The Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, our fellowship time, our singing, the music. We thank you for that. Lord, now I pray you just speak to our hearts as the preaching of your word goes forth today. Lord, you know our needs. You can meet every need. And Lord, I pray for those here, all of us here. Lord, if there's any that have never trusted you as their Savior, that today will be that day. They do so before it is eternally too late, Lord. And we'll trust the outcome of that to you and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message, I didn't get with Eileen on the notes today, Receiving God's Gift. Receiving God's Gift. You know, how many of us have said or somebody said to you today, are you ready for Christmas? I think we probably said it today. Are you ready for Christmas? Well, if you're not ready, it doesn't matter. It's coming anyway there. But when you think about that, when somebody says, when are you ready for Christmas, they usually mean, or you think about what they mean, usually means you're thinking, have you got all your shopping done? Have you got, all your preparations? Might be buying food, decorating. If you hadn't decorated by now, you might as well just wait till next year, I guess. Mailing out all your Christmas cards, those type things like that. But I want to put another thought in your head there. When you start thinking about ready for Christmas, are you ready to receive the gift that God has given you? Now, I know everybody here that's trusted Jesus, you're thinking to yourself right now, I've already done that. I have received the gift of eternal life that God has given. And I pray, and that's great. And I want you to think about it. If you haven't done that, I was sharing with some folks yesterday at the funeral. We just got to talking. It was saved people. But we were talking about that, about being saved, and how, when I was saved in 1987, the pastor had talked to me. I knew about Jesus. I believed in God all my life, just in the sense that I knew he was real. I wasn't an atheist. I wasn't a doubter. But a pastor finally asked me this question. He said, "Have you ever asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and just come into your life?" And I said, "Nah, I hadn't done that." I mean, I knew what Easter was, what was going on mostly. I mean, I know more now than I did then, but I knew that Easter was about. I mean, I knew what Christmas was about. I knew that Santa Claus wasn't real by then. You know, I shouldn't say that. But I knew that, that it was more than a Christmas tree and the gifts under. You know, I knew that. I knew it was about the birth of Christ. I knew that. I just had never understood, or nobody ever posed to me the question, had I ever asked or receive the gift that God was giving. That's what Christmas was, what was going on, when God sent his son and came into the world so that we could have a Savior. It wasn't a complete gift, of course, until when he went to the cross and died for our sins, and that made salvation possible. But this was the beginning of that gift. And so I want to think about that But think about this, and I want to ask you, if you're here and you're saved and you say, well, you know, I've already received the gift of eternal life. I've trusted Jesus Christ, my Savior. That's great. And I want to ask you this, though. Are you ready to receive everything that God has for you? I mean, everything that God has for you. There's a lot more to salvation than just, you know, I'm not going to hell and I'm going to heaven. There's a lot more to what God has for us in this life than just, getting saved and that's it. Whew, man, I'm done, made it, got to the end. No, there's a lot more than that. And I just got some points on that I want to talk about this morning. Hopefully this will help you along. Are you ready? Number one, are you ready to receive God's will? Are you ready to receive God's will? And I didn't want the title to be that long, but the God's will for your life. Are you ready to receive God's will for your life? When we look in the story that I read, and you have to read all four gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, kind of put them all together. Mark, I don't think, talks about the birth of Christ in this. Luke, will be the two books that you have to look at and to get the story there. Joseph, of course, Jesus is, I guess we'd say today, the stepfather. Since Jesus was, Mary was overcome by the Holy Ghost, she was the mother there, but Joseph didn't have any part in this. And Joseph is kind of overlooked in the Christmas story for the most part. We were singing one of the songs when we sing like Silent Night. We mention mother and child, but we don't mention Joseph. He's there too, right? He's on the scene right there. But I want to think about that for a minute in the sense of receive. Are you ready to receive everything that God has for your will, His will in your life? And so when we think about that, Joseph had to be somebody that was ready to receive everything that God had for him and in the sense of God's will for his life. When you put yourself in Joseph's shoes, here we think about that. He's ready to marry the girl of his dreams. They were both probably pretty young. He's ready to marry her. This is somebody the Jews had an espousal period that lasted for a whole year. He's probably known Mary longer than that. So he certainly had, most of a year probably has gone by. He knows her pretty well. At least he thinks he knows her pretty well, and he does know her. And he loved her very much. And then a day comes along where, Mary has to, they find out that she's with child. And then, listen, this was a big deal. It should still be a big deal. It was a big deal. And Joseph says, it said in the text even that they hadn't come together. So they hadn't had any relationship, other than just the dating part, we call it that today. And he knew that he couldn't be the father. And so, this was something that really shook his world up, and he loved her a lot, and so when for him it shattered his dreams, heartbroken, no doubt. You can think of all the things that were going on and in his life, and because he thought, surely I knew her better than that, because by now he knew something about her character. This was going to be something that was so opposite of her character, something that was to him was an impossibility that she could have been unfaithful during the espousal period, because he knew her very well. He knew her, and so his whole world is turned upside down at that announcement. So what to do? Well, according to the law, he could have had her stoned to death. He could have took her to the priest and said, listen, I haven't had any relations. She's with child. This was an embarrassment. She could have been stoned to death for this, if a man wanted to do that. But he said, no, it said in the text, it said that he decided he was going to put her away, which means he was going to break off the espousal period, the engagement. He's going to break it off. He's going to put her away privately. He wasn't going to make a public spectacle. He wasn't going to tell everybody in the town what went on. He was just going to do it. Now, that's love right there. He loved her. He wasn't. And so, listen, you see something about the character. We know about Mary's character, because we know the rest of the story. But you see something about Joseph's character in the fact that he wasn't vindictive. He wasn't going to get revenge. He wasn't going to, he wasn't an angry person that was going to take his anger out on Mary for this. And so, but then it says in verse 20, and this is great, it says, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now it said, while he thought on these things, and you can just imagine if you were in Joseph's shoes, his mind, where his mind was at. His mind must have been racing. He's wondering about things like, okay, number one, you know, who is the father of this child? You know, how could this have happened? You know, when in the world would this have taken place? Small town, everybody knew everybody, everything was going on. How all these things would have been in his mind. And it said that an angel appeared to him in a dream, and I got to imagine that he wasn't sleeping all that well. I would imagine that he was having fitful sleep, just, I mean, his whole world, his whole plans and everything, his whole world is shook up from top to bottom. So I don't believe he was sleeping all that well. But here it is. God had a plan. God had a will for Joseph's life. He had a will for Mary's life. He had a will for Joseph's life. And this is what the will was. God was asking Joseph to believe. Number one, he was asking Joseph to believe in the impossible. Now see, that's faith right there. You know, because if we can believe in the possible, that's not faith. It's when we have to work in the realm of impossibility. When something, you know, because listen, there hadn't been a virgin birth before. And contrary to somebody else's excuses later on down the road, there's not a virgin birth going on since, you know, hadn't happened. This was an impossible thing that God was asking Joseph to believe. See, that's faith. We're walking by faith and not by sight when we can't see it. I mean, everybody can go ahead and, you know, figure it all out and have the plan and see the outcome at the end of it and go ahead and step out and walk in that direction. It's when God's asking you to do something that is in the realm of impossibility as far as you're concerned, because with God, nothing's in the realm of impossibility. And he's asking you to move in that direction. You can't see. I don't understand. You know, you can hear it now. Well, I don't understand how. How could this be? I mean, how can that happen? We've never had a virgin birth. How is it going to happen? But God said, listen, I just want you to trust me. I just want you to believe. Just believe me. I just want you to trust him. So he's asking him to do that. And I think sometimes God, and I'm going to tell you, you don't have any faith really unless God is pushing you or leading you or directing you into some area that you can't see the outcome or the possibility of it. You know, it has to look like an impossible situation. And then, because then, you know, how are you going to see the power of God? If you can get it done and then it gets done, it doesn't, you know, God's not glorified in that. God's not seen in that. God is glorified and seen when we think, man, I just don't see how it's going to come out. And it comes out and you say, wow, man, it had to be God, right? That was it. So he's asking him and as far as his will is concerned, he's asking him to believe in the impossible. He was asking him, Joseph, to just trust me with this. He didn't give him all the details. He did give him some. He said she was overcome by the Holy Ghost and what's conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. He didn't get down to the DNA details of all that. He just said that was it. And he was asking them to go forward in a situation that he surely still didn't understand. He just didn't understand. The Bible says that love beareth all things, believeth all things, and endureth all things. We already seen the love that Joseph had for Mary and the fact that before he was even spoken to by the angel that he said, you know, I'm just going to put her away. I'm not going to have her put to death, which was pretty extreme. I'm not going to have her put to death. No, I'm just going to put her away privately. I don't know, you know, and we're just not going to get married, and that's going to be that right there. So like I said, faith is believing God when he does what we don't expect him to do. This was unexpected. And like I said, Joseph and you and I would have had a list of questions a mile long. But in verse 24 tells us that he accepted God's will. He said in verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. And there's a lot of ramifications with that. Small town, you know, we live in one, right? Everybody's talking. Everybody's, you know, he knew he was going to have to deal with all that, but he said, listen, I'm just going to listen to God. I'm not going to listen to people. That's our problem. We worried about what everybody else thinks except God. We're always worried about what somebody else thinks, what somebody's going to say, and we need to worry about what God thinks and what God says. That's all you need to worry about. God will take care of the rest. And so he did that. Now, you know, when we think about life, we were talking about this. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether tragedies seem to increase at Christmas time or whether they're just magnified at Christmas time. You know, we think about the things. Last year we had a fire around here, and it was a lady killed and a couple of grandchildren. Actually, I think related to Glenda that way. They had that fire, and then a young man over here took his life on Christmas Eve. Man, that's a tragedy that we remember. This year, you know, this week coming up, we're heading, and, you know, we got Glenda. I mean, I talked to Glenda on the phone at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. At 9 o'clock, Miss Markham's calling me. I knew it was not. Sorry, Miss Mar, I knew it wasn't good news when you called me at 9 o'clock at night. I said, it's not. I saw your name on there. I said, uh-oh, this is not good. And tell me Glenda had passed away. Her husband, Bruce's son, is in the hospital, not expected to make it. We're about ready to have the funeral. Before the funeral yesterday morning, Glenda's son called me and said, hey, I got a dilemma. They're calling the family in for Bruce's son. He's not expected to make it. Now he's stabilized right now, and I think Bruce went down there this morning and told me he wouldn't be here today, but that's going on. You know, we had prayer requests Wednesday night. I think somebody used to work with my son Kyle, worked in that company there. You probably heard about it on the news, went and killed his girlfriend, mother of three, drove down through here and took his own life when he got down here in Daleville. All kind of another man at work, Cave In, where Kyle works, or used to work with him, and he was killed. And that's probably the one I'm thinking about, the fellow used to work with you. Just one thing after another. It was somebody that's local that people know, the man got killed in a car wreck last night. It's just like, I don't know whether, like I said, whether it's just, is it around Christmas or just seems magnified, around Christmas time. And like Joseph, we want to cry out and say, well, you know, how can this be? I mean, it's hard to, you know, I was kind of like easing into Christmas spirit and you know, thinking about, hey, it's coming up and getting ready for service today, candlelight tomorrow night, and then Glenda passed. And they asked me, they said, well, hey, Norma Connor's not doing good. Can you go to the hospital yesterday before the funeral? So I went down to the hospital yesterday morning, got there, sign on the door to see the nurse. I went to see her. She came around the counter, said Norma passed away at 9 o'clock yesterday morning. So, like I say, you know, we just kind of want to cry out. Joseph didn't understand. He wanted to cry out. But you know what? I think God, you know, sometimes is a still small voice that's just saying, look, just trust me. All right, I'm good. You know, God just wants us to trust him when we can't see, what's going on. So are you ready to receive God's will for your life? The second thing is, are you ready to love other people like God loves other people? Are you ready to love other people like God loves other people? Verse 24 tells us that Joseph did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took Mary to be his wife. When that's just a small sentence, a small statement. He took Mary to be his wife. There's a lot of people that go into marriage, but that's about all they think about it. I'm getting married. That's it. But listen, when a man decides to marry a wife, and Joseph is going to take Mary to be a wife, and listen, I don't know if he understood all of it, but I understand it all now, that he was going to be raising Jesus, which is God in the flesh, from a baby up. That's a responsibility right there. I mean, I'm sure he was a good child, but I mean, still, that's a responsibility. So he had, and he had to take that responsibility on. We're commanded as men in the Word of God that we're just to love, that we're to love our wives, not just to marry our wives or not just to tolerate our wives, that we're commanded to love our wives. And that has a lot to do. You know, he was going to be loving Jesus, this child as his own, it wasn't technically his child, raise him, care for him, even though he wasn't the father. He also had some other responsibilities that he didn't know about coming up, because when the wise men finally showed up a year or two after the birth of Jesus, and they told him after they showed up, they were warned, or Joseph was warned in a dream, They were warned to go another way because don't go back to Herod. Herod said, you know, come and tell me. And they were warned to go another way. And Joseph was told to take the child and go down into Egypt because Herod was going to seek his life. And so he had to take and move his whole family. As we were thinking about this, I was doing every now and then, give you a little background, the Christmas story, or even like our manger scene. We got the wise men there, but from all the studying I've done, the wise men didn't show up on the night that Jesus was born. It was a year up to 2 years later when he was born, and the reason we know that because Herod had all the children under two and under killed in Bethlehem because he was worried about a king coming from one of those children. So it was a couple of years later, so we got all our songs are messed up on that. We got that. But those wise men, you know, they showed up, and they like I said, told to flee. So Joseph, and I was thinking that meant that Joseph and Mary, they had gone to Bethlehem for the census. They left where they were living. There was a census ordered by King Herod. You had to go to your birth city. And so Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem. She had a baby. And so that meant that they stayed in Bethlehem, not where they had been living, for a year to 2 years after the birth of Jesus. You know, thinking about that, common sense, traveling with the child in that day, the type of travel they had to do with a small baby. They probably just stayed there and took care of some things. But so he had to do that. He had to get a job there, support his family. Then he had to take and go down into Egypt, find something to do there until Herod died. Then they could come back up. There's responsibility that went with this child, but Joseph loved Jesus, and I don't know what all he knew. We know more than he did at the time, probably. But he had to love that child as his own. He had to love Mary, his wife. And there's a responsibility. His responsibility now turned from himself, which we are inherently selfish, to the responsibility of Mary and the baby. And, you know, when a baby comes, listen, how many of you know we got, Michelle had a new baby and we've had kids. When a baby comes, your world gets turned upside down in a hurry, doesn't it? I mean, boy, I mean, you talking about, huh? If there's a cure for selfishness, it's when a man's wife has a child. Man, you're running around and buying stuff you never thought of. And I mean, baby food, it's hard to pick baby food out because I don't like none of it. And you're getting baby food. And I remember, you know, back when we had our children, Kyle and Danielle were small. You know, we were living hand to mouth, no money in the bank to speak of. And you had whatever you had in your wallet. That's the money I had, was the money in my wallet. And Sherry would let me know, hey, you know, you got to get diapers on the way home. Man, those disposable diapers, man, it's expensive. It was cutting into my little slush fund there in my wallet every week, man. I was so glad when they didn't have to have diapers anymore. I didn't have to stop and spend that money on them diapers. I got to keep a little bit, but I had to go and spend the money. I mean, you have a responsibility, and so your whole world and was all shook up when a child comes. So God commands us to love our wives, and he commands the wives to love the husbands too in Titus 2:4. And the Bible tells us to love our neighbor, to love our enemies, to love the Lord God, to love one another, to love your children. The Bible tells us to speak in love, to walk in love, to abound in love, to love the Spirit. Man, that's love. We got some responsibilities. This is what God wants us to do. Not just to love our wives and just our children, but there's others. I remember this story, and I remember it well. I was a brand new Christian. Man, I had the Independent Baptist haircuts, kind of like it is now. And a white shirt, you know. I don't even know. I might have thought it was a sin to wear a colored shirt. I don't know. I had on a white shirt. I had my tie, man, and I was a new Christian. Everything was new. I thought I was like the least of all the Christians, and I probably was. I mean, I didn't know nothing that nobody else. I didn't know the songs. You go to a meeting, and everybody's singing the songs from heart. They know it. They don't have to have the hymn book, and I'm in there trying to find it on the page because I didn't know the words. And we went down here from our church up in near Culpeper. We went down here to Princeton, West Virginia, to a camp meeting. Now, remember, I was a brand-new Christian, right? And it was one of those camp meetings, you go there, and we went all week. We got up there on like a Monday. Boy, I had a hotel room. I thought this was cool. I took off work, and you went to preaching in the morning. They'd have two preachers, like, 10 and 11 o'clock. They'd do a couple preachers, and then everybody would go out to eat, and all Christian people, you just fellowshipping with other Christians. Now, you know, remember, I'd been lost not too long before this. And so this was great, man. It was new to me. And it was a big old church. The church would hold about 500 people. It was packed out. And then at night, you know, everybody went back at night. We'd go back at 7 o'clock, I think it was. And, man, they'd have a couple preachers, and you'd preach till about 9. And, man, we'd been doing this all week. Now, if you're not jacked up after that in the spirit, something wrong with you. You know, we haven't been doing anything else, watching TV or nothing, just preaching and singing. And Friday night rolled around, and we got to singing this one song. I was listening to it on radio. I think it's a Stanley Brothers song, Paul, you'd be familiar with. But, you know, while I was praying, somebody touched me. And while I was singing, somebody touched me. And then they got to what they said, this is what we want you to do. And then we're gonna go through the days of the week. And when we get to the day of the week that you got saved on, we want you to stand. Now, you got to remember, there's about 500 people in there. So they started. It was on a Monday. Somebody touched me. And everybody got saved on a Monday, stood up, you know, around the room. Then it was on a Tuesday, and they stayed standing. It was on a Tuesday, somebody touched me, and they all stood up, man. I got saved on Thursday, man. I had to wait all the way. We got to Thursday. They said, when's on a Thursday, man? I stood up. I was just a new Christian, man. Somebody touched me. I'll never forget that. And then they had the fellowship time like we do. You know, after that's when they did that, it seemed like. And they broke for fellowship time. And I remember turning, looking over my shoulder over there. It was a pretty big church near the back. And there was this old guy that had come in there, this old man. And he was all haggard looking, weather beaten, beard. Hands were, I don't know why it stuck out in my mind, but his hands were just gnarly looking. I mean, he had those giant knots on his knuckles. And like, you know, you could just tell he didn't look like the rest of us. You know, he didn't have on his white shirt and he didn't have on his tie. And he wasn't all dressed up, and he probably wasn't all that clean. I don't know nothing about him. And I was a brand new Christian, and I didn't know. And I just looked over there. And everybody's like fellowshipping. Hey, brother, how you doing, man? He's up there with all the people that look like them. Hey, brother, how's it going? Yeah, good to see you and all that. And I looked around there, and I don't know whether, you know, God just directed me to look. And I was looking, and this guy was just standing there with nobody shaking his hand. Nobody's telling him nothing. We just got done singing, somebody touch me, and nobody would touch this guy. And man, God just moved me out, man. I said, you know what, I'm going to, I didn't touch nobody else's. I didn't shake hands with nobody else. I just went to that guy. And I'm not telling you that to brag on what I was doing. It's just that it was just God, the love of God. You know, this was back before I had a chance to get jaded. You know, grieve the spirit, quench the spirit, get out of the spirit, get used to doing all the stuff that Christians do. We take for granted, you know, before I had a chance to get to the state I get to now sometime. Hadn't had that time, you know. I was new. I said, man, we're supposed to love. I read that. I went over there and I said, how you doing? I'm glad to have you here. You know, shook his hand. I didn't know what else to do with him, you know. I'm green. But, man, here we're singing about the love of God and God touching us. And man, people just ignore somebody that doesn't look like them, doesn't smell like them, doesn't, you know, ain't the same color as them, whatever the case may be. There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. Man, I said, listen, we're commanded to love, and you know, and that's what we need to do. Sometimes people say this, you know, well, I just can't get in the spirit of Christmas. I just can't get in the spirit of Christmas. I'll tell you what, Christmas came because Joseph and Mary, or Joseph cared about Mary and Jesus. That's why Christmas came to Joseph. And I'm going to tell you what, it'll come to us. If you can't get in the Christmas spirit, I'll tell you what to do. Go on down there to the Bryan Center and see all them people hooked up to a breathing machine, snot running all out of their nose and slobber running out the side of their mouth because nobody will go in there and wipe their face. Or don't have time. I mean, I know they're busy, but go down there and cheer somebody up. Just go in there and say, hey, let me pray with you. Go down there and, you know, do something for somebody else. Because we get into Christmas. I'll tell you what, Christmas, everybody just, we was coming out Glenda's funeral yesterday, and the police was late getting there, as usual, and so they weren't there, and the one guy for the funeral home was out there with a stop sign on one side, and he was getting the car stopped, and Karen pulls the hearse out in the road, and here comes his car up the other side, And I mean, man, she's flying. I thought, man, and Karen had got out there any farther. This lady, man, she just blew right on by. She didn't give a rip that there's a funeral going on. We're about there. And I said, good grief, man. I mean, just didn't even care. That's what happened. We get busy, man. People have needs, and we just got our agenda. We got to get our shopping list done. We've got to get everything on our checklist. We got to get our food, and we're going to have this and that. And it, we're all worried about us, our stuff. Right at Christmas time. And I know that we have stuff that we have to do. But God said, listen, now, you know, you're ready to love like I loved, to give right there. And then I got to hurry up, man. The third thing, I've already cut some stuff out. Are you ready to give what we have? Are you ready to give what we have? Joseph had to take Mary with child, like I said, to Bethlehem for the census. There was time, travel, money. After Jesus' birth, they had to flee into Egypt, away from home, family, friends. And, you know, but whatever God asked Joseph to give, Joseph gave. You know, those shepherds in Luke's account, I didn't read that. Boy, they left those sheep behind when they found out about the birth of Jesus that night. They went to see. They went to, after the announcement of his birth by the angels, they went to worship Jesus. The wise men later on had traveled a great distance, spent time and money to worship Jesus. Herod, on the other hand, he sought to kill Jesus. But you know what? There was a lot of unconcerned people that were kind of neutral either way. A guy always told me, when you preach, do two things. Either get them mad, get them real glad, or get them real mad, but you get them somewhere. Don't let them be neutral. They can be mad at you or glad with you, but don't let them be neutral. But there's a lot of people that are neutral as far as the birth of Christ is concerned. I mean, listen, yeah, they celebrate Christmas, but not one single thought towards Jesus. They're celebrating Christmas, but not one thought towards Jesus. There's even people in churches, week in, week out, but their lives are not impacted one iota by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's something wrong with that right there. Something wrong if your life's not impacted by the gospel. And the great illustration is found in Luke's account of the birth of Christ when the innkeeper said there's no room in the inn. That kind of blows my mind when I think about that. You know, most of you are familiar with the story. When they got there wasn't any room in the inn, why Jesus ended up being born in a manger. It blows my mind that somebody didn't have enough compassion to say, hey, here's a woman about to give birth to a child. I'll just let her take my room. I can go sleep in the manger. Somebody, or find a place somewhere in the inn. But we see it today, as I said. Hustle, bustle, rushing around, just trying to get everything done. Not much time for the destitute, the poor, the suffering. Last little illustration I give you. I read about a play. It was a play that I guess it was a church that was having in her school. And there was a lady that... there was a boy there that his mother had been an alcoholic, so when he was born, he was a little bit slow. They had decided they would make him the innkeeper in the play. And when Joseph and Mary came to the inn, he was supposed to say, but he had to say in a rough voice, we have no room. You know, we have no room in the inn. And then he said that. He said, we have no room. And there was a pause in the play, and it was kind of one of those things, you know, when you do plays, there was a pause where everybody kind of got the idea that somebody had forgot their line. It was just getting kind of uncomfortable, awkward moment. And then you could hear the director was behind the scenery in the play, and she was saying, be gone, be gone. That's what he was supposed to say. So finally he said, be gone. And according to the way the play was set up, Joseph and Mary turned to walk away. But this boy... He couldn't bear the thought of them turning away. And he said, no, wait, you can have my room. And the director was thinking, oh, no. She said, this wasn't script, you know, this wasn't in the script. He said, the play is ruined. But really, it wasn't ruined. Because this is this probably communicated the real spirit or story of Christmas more than the fact that he would have just said, be gone, and let them walk away. You know, we have gifts at Christmas. Some people say, well, you know what? It's not all about the gifts. I'm not going to give in gifts. No, it is about the gifts. God sent his son. And there's some people, you know what? We can be so prideful. Some people don't want to receive gifts. They want to give them, but they don't want to receive them. I'm going to tell you, it's about both. It's both things. We're going to get, that's what the gift giving is just a small representation of the gift that God. Now, of course, we're not going to give a gift like God did, but it's the spirit of that. When we give gifts, but I'm going to tell you what, it's also in the receiving of gifts. You know, we have to, I can't think of how I want to word it. You know, God expressed his love to us when he gave us gifts, when he gave us his gift. But I'm going to tell you something. How many of you, this is the greatest way I can illustrate it. How many of you like to give gifts too? I enjoy that. I'm all excited about gifts. I can't wait to give Sherry her gift. Got her a diamond that's like this big around. I like to get them too. Don't get me wrong, you know. But I like to give gifts. And you know what? You know when you give a gift to somebody and it's a really special gift, and you got the excitement in your heart. Like, you know, here, and you ever, sometimes you see little kids, you know, they got a gift, and they give it, oh, yeah, open this, open, open. Ooh, there's even an advertisement I think they got on TV right now. Just can't wait, I want to open the gift. I believe that's how God feels with the gift that he gave. He's excited. He wants us to receive that gift. And you know, if you know how heartbroken you'd be, and this might have happened to you. You give something you think somebody really wants, and they go, wrong color, wrong size. And you know, it kind of just really pops your balloon, doesn't it? Think how God feels when he gave his only begotten son. He said, this is it. And you say, I'm not interested. The same way. Have you received the gift that God has given to you? Have you received God's gift? That's the question for today. Not only God's gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, his son, that's the first step. And if you've already done that, have you received everything else that God has for you? Have you received his will for your life? Have you received his love so that you can love others the way he loved you? And you ready to give what we have? You learn how to receive that gift of giving where you can give what we have back to God. Those are the questions. If you're here today and you never received the gift of God, that's the first step. It's just saying, God, you know what? I have never asked you to forgive me of my sins and come into my life. You don't have to know, like Joseph, you don't have to know all the details. All you have to just know is that you're a sinner, you're lost, and you want to be saved. God works the rest of it out. You have an opportunity today. Come